take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. We'll be looking at one verse of Scripture today that I hope will be an encouragement and a blessing. But I want to say again how much I appreciate all of you being here. But I'm especially thankful to have family here today. Our family, I often mention to you, we're very small anymore. And I appreciate the opportunity we've had to be together with some of our cousins, all of our aunts and uncles on both sides, my mother and dad's side. They've all passed away. And so it's just us left. But thank the Lord, there's hope beyond today. And there's a reunion, I believe, coming for those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles, Deuteronomy chapter number 6. I want to read one verse of Scripture. I like many times to take a passage of Scripture and try to expound on it some. But this just caught my eye. I've, over the last 45 years of being in the ministry, I'm sure that I've preached messages in somewhat similar to this or like this or from this verse. But today I want to look at it from a standpoint that I hope will be a blessing and encouragement to your heart. As chapter number 6, the book of Deuteronomy, verse number 23. The Bible said, and he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together. And Lord, I do pray now that you would bless. I pray that you'd guide and direct, give us wisdom, strength, and help. I pray that you'd help me to say today what needs to be said, refrain from saying anything that don't need to be said. And Father, most of all, we pray if there's one here today that does not know thee as their Savior, that today would be the day of salvation for that one. Lord, we ask now that you would guide and direct everything that we say. Have your will and way, we pray, and we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray, amen. Now, as we stop and think about this, this verse literally encompasses the whole talking. Well, actually, what it's talking about is the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. It's talking about the fact of them leaving. And it talks about the exodus they made from Egypt, and the place God promised them was a place called Canaan land. And so we find here today as we look at this, that's what he's talking about. He brought us out, talking about the Israelites. He brought them out of Egypt, and he brought them out to give them a land which he sware to his fathers, a land called Canaan, and that's where they were to dwell. When Israel left Egypt, they had a bright future. They had left terrible pain behind them. They had been subject to being taskmasters to the slaves of Egypt. Can you imagine being there 400 years as a slave working for them, and yet one day you get the privilege to get out with the blessed hope of a place called Canaan. And yet they were excited about the leaving, although it did not happen overnight, but God called a man by the name of Moses and told him to go and tell Pharaoh to let his children go. It was, again, not an easy task. Moses did what he was told to do after making a few excuses, and God had to give him Aaron in order that he could speak for him. But he went and he demanded of Pharaoh that he do the things that God had told him to do or to tell him to do. And again, Pharaoh just kind of kept putting him off and tricking and doing all kind of things. But in the sovereignty of God, God got him out of Egypt. We know the crossing of the Red Sea was a great miracle that took place, and the Bible said they walked over on dry ground. Looks like our screen today has got some dry ground on it. I believe that could be the way the Red Sea looked when the Lord parted it back. Somebody said, surely not. With God, all things are possible, and I believe it is. So like Israel, I think that we too could relate this verse to us. Again, let me read it. Now, not thinking about Israel, but thinking about us. He brought us out thence. Why? That he might bring us in. And to give us a land flowing with milk and honey. We'll get to that in just a moment. Not sure to be a land flowing with milk and honey, but I know one thing. He brought us out to bring us in. And that's exactly what God did with the children of Israel. And so now the children of Israel, they look back on the pain they've suffered. They look ahead to the glorious Canaan land that they're going to one day inhabit, or at least they desired to inhabit when they left. However, they did not encounter or think about the in-between time. And the in-between time took them on a journey through the wilderness. And on that journey, there was many things that happened to them. And so they were somewhere between the middle of coming out and going in. They had to endure some things that perhaps maybe today, they did not want to endure. But yet it was not an easy time. And yet today, God saved us in order that he might take us to heaven one day to dwell with him. But until he does, We're stuck in the middle. We're here in this place that God has placed us for a reason and a purpose. And I want to share with you a few thoughts. I want to go back and look at some of the history of Israel, relate to you and I how it applies to us, I believe, in these passages of Scripture. But when He did, when God bailed us out or pulled us out or saved us by His grace, He brought us out of the bondage of sin. We began a journey. We're on this journey and we're headed to a place called heaven. I love to sing the song, "When We All Get to Heaven, What a Day of Rejoicing That Will Be." I believe that the people in Israel in that day would have been satisfied, many of them, at the end of the 40 years, if the Lord would have just took them out of Egypt and took them straight on to heaven. But yet He did not do that, and He left them here for a purpose. Many times people wonder and say, "Well, why am I here? Why does God do this? And why does God do that?" Well, friend, I believe that God did what He did to the children of Israel in order that He might teach them, guide them, and direct them in order that they might learn some things to know what to do and how to do it. But I want to say today that I believe we're in the same place they were. God brought us out. He's going to take us in. But until then, we're in the wilderness of this life, experiencing things that are not always pleasant. But He's promised us not Canaan, but He's promised us a promised land, and it's called heaven. And I'm grateful today. We don't preach enough on it. But I tell you, heaven is a real place. Hell's a real place. And I tell you today, you'll spend eternity one place or the other, either hell or heaven. And I tell you, if you read about both of them, I don't think anybody in their right mind would want to go to hell. And I say today, nobody in their right mind has to go to hell if they'll repent of their sins and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So what I want you to do today, look with me as we look at the Scripture, and I want to share with you what I believe God did for the children of Israel and how it applies to us now, that if you're saved, and I hope you are saved, but if you're saved, God brought you out. He brought you out for a reason. He brought you out that He might bring you in. And until He brings us in, we're where God wants us to be. We need to be doing what God would have us to do and be sure that we're in the will of God for our life all along the way. The first thing I want you to notice with me today, in this passage of Scripture, it speaks of a glorious exit. A glorious exit. He brought us out. Talking about the fact that He brought them out. Now Israel, I've already mentioned, they had endured 400 years of slavery in Egypt. Boy, we think getting 72 is a long time. But can you imagine 400 years? Talk about bodies that never wore out and was able to do so much. But for 400 years of slavery would not be a pleasant thing. They were forced to work by the Egyptian taskmasters. They saw their people suffer. They saw their children die. They went through some difficulties because even though they had been released from Israel's bondage, here they find themselves in the wilderness going through some horrific suffering on their part. Again, somebody said, why would God do that? Why would He allow them to suffer even in the wilderness? I submit to you today, God has a plan and a purpose for everything. We don't understand and we don't know, but God had led Moses in order that He might go in and He might lead them out. And lead them out He did. And now He's in charge. But what do we find? We find along the way, even though they had left dark bondage in the deepness of slavery, we find them in the wilderness experiencing things that actually they begin to murmur and complain about. They had things that they didn't have in Egypt. It might not have been as good in some circumstances, but at least they were free. And I'm glad today to know that I'm free from the bondage of sin. I'm glad to know that Jesus Christ has redeemed me. By grace, He has saved me. And I'm grateful today that I'm on my way to heaven because He's brought me out. And so here the children of Israel, they saying and they're talking about all the things, but I want to share with you a few thoughts here this morning. What were they saved from? I'm glad you asked that question because I want to read to you in the book of Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 1 through 4. And He hath He quickened who were dead in our trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in His mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. I'm glad today that God loved me enough that He delivered me from the bondage of sin. Up until we get saved, the Bible said, you're of your father to the devil. Once you get saved, you become a child of God. And there's nothing can separate you from being a child of God if you genuinely get born again by the Spirit of God. Like Israel, we were bound by sin. But yet, thank God, the Lord saved us from the things that we were involved in and the direction we were going. And He picked us up, as the psalmist said, He reached down in the miry clay. He picked me up and He set my feet upon a rock and He established my goings. I'm grateful today what we were saved by. We were saved by the power of God. I just read it a minute ago. But God, in His mercy, He loved us. He saved us by His power. There's nobody that has saving power but God Himself. Friend, today I can preach the Word of God and I can tell you what the Bible has to say, but I want you to understand that Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So we were delivered by God's power. God invaded the devil's dominion. He sent His Son into the world to die on the cross for our sin. And the purpose of His coming was to free us from the bondage of the sin of the world. The Son of God lived in this world as a man. He died on a cross in this world as a man. But in through it all, He was still God. But He shed His precious blood on the cross of Calvary in order that we might be saved. What did He save us to? A glorious future. One day, this whole world is going to come to an end. One day, the last sinner is going to be saved. One day, the last message is going to be preached, and the Lord Himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's given us a new life. The Bible said if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I guarantee you He's given me a new life, and I want to say this. I know relating this to being our wilderness journey, I know there's some difficult bumps in the road along the way. But can I remind you, it's still great to be a child of God. It's wonderful to be saved. And to understand the things we endure down here are going to be nothing compared to the things we're going to enjoy in the place that God has prepared for us. He has a plan for us. The Bible said that He wants us to bear fruit in John 15:8. Herein is My Father glorified, that you may bear much fruit, so ye shall be My disciples. Why did God bring us out? To bring us in. Why did He not just take us on to heaven? Because God wanted to use us. He wanted to use us to glorify Him. How do we glorify Him? By living a life that is pleasing to Him, obeying His will, reading His word, praying and asking God to direct your steps in your life and lead you in the way that He'd have you go. The psalmist said, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not, what? Sin against Thee. And so today, God wants glory from our life. Nothing shows God's glory more than when a person, an old sinner, gets saved by the grace of God. When they come to the point of repenting of their sins, crying out to God and asking Him to come into their heart and save them. God brought us out of bondage in order that we might bring Him glory. And I tell you today, to God be the glory, great things He's done. There's nothing we can do in the church, nothing we can do in our family lives, nothing we can do in our individual lives without understanding that everything comes by the power of God. He's the only one that enables us to do the thing. So they had a glorious exit. They got out of being a taskmaster. But even us, we have been delivered from the wrath of the devil. If we've been saved by the grace of God, we're on our way to heaven. And we had a wonderful exodus out of the place we used to be. Not all of us that we can think about in our life have always done what we should do, lived like we should live. But I tell you one thing, when God makes a change in your life, it changes you for good. It causes you to do what's right. Not to say that you won't backslide, not to say that you might not sin. But the fact is, God saves us, and He saves us to bring honor and glory to Him. And that's what we should do. The next thing I notice, He said, notice in verse 23, and He brought us out from thence that He might bring us in. Not only they have a glorious exit, but they had a grand entrance. I'm grateful today as we look at this, a grand entrance. God promised the Israel to bring them into a land of their own. Now, we know in the Bible, we read about it, it was a place called Canaan land. And in Canaan land, he said, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Wonderful place to be, especially in that time. Things were a lot different then than they are now. But Canaan land was a place that he promised them, and they all headed there. But unfortunately, by their disobedience, some of them didn't get to enter into Canaan. However, might I submit to you today, if you've truly been born again, you're going to make it to heaven. God says there's nothing can separate you from the love of God. If you confess your sin, you've repented of your sin, you've called upon his name, and you've been saved by the grace of God, I'm telling you, he said he gave us what? Eternal life. I love that word because it means he could never forsake me. He'll never leave me. He'll never leave me alone. Canaan land was a place that was promised to you. It was a place that was prepared for. It was for the people of Israel to go. Yet they're murmuring and complaining. We know the truth of what happened to them. It caused them to wander in the wilderness. And maybe sometimes our disobedience causes us to wander in the wilderness a little longer than we desire to. God allows things to come, as I said already, to teach us, to equip us, to make us a better Christian, make us stronger. I don't understand all the things that have happened in my life. You don't understand all the things that happened in your life. But I know he brought me out of the bondage of sin. He has given me a place one day called heaven that I'm going to go to dwell with him. You know, somebody said, I really wish I knew more about heaven. Well, I tell you, the Bible gives us a pretty good picture of what heaven's going to be like. I'm sure it's going to be even more grander than we think. But there's some things I know about it. One thing I know, the Bible said in Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more suffering. All things, old things, those things are going to be passed away. And all things are going to become new. I was at the back door earlier after Sunday school this morning, and some of the people were coming in, and we was comparing our aches and pains. We was talking about, you know, it's not funny, Tricia, but we were comparing our aches and pains and things we get. And the older you get them. But isn't it wonderfully exciting to know we get to heaven? There's not going to be any of that. It's not going to be any of that. Now, here's what I know about heaven. I know in heaven there's a street of gold. You said, preacher, don't you mean streets? Well, my Bible says street. It is singular, and so I just believe it's one big street of gold. I tell you, they have never seen much gold, but I'm looking forward one day to kicking up some gold dust on the streets of heaven. I know there's gates of pearl. I read about it in the book of Revelation. Beautiful gates of pearl. There's walls of jasper. There's foundation of precious stones all around the city, and actually they're supporting the city. I know, according to the Word of God, that there's a crystal river. I know somewhere close by, there used to be a Crystal River seafood, I know, but it ain't that kind of crystal. It's a crystal in heaven, crystal river that will flow, a beautiful river that will dwell there. I know the angels of God will be there. I tell you, somebody said, do you believe in angels? Sure I do. You said, well, I don't see them. Well, I don't see them either. But I tell you, one day, I believe we're going to see them. And one day, we even may be one. But I'm telling you, I know that the angels of God are going to be there. I know, and I like this one, the departed saints of God are going to be there. I tell you, that's why today, it's wonderful to know that your family have all come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I tell you, we had a little reunion yesterday. There's about 14 of us. But I tell you, when we get to heaven, I'm looking for a bigger reunion. I'm looking forward, and I say this, first of all, I want to see Jesus. But I tell you what, I'm glad I'm going to have a reunion with my loved ones. I'm looking forward to seeing my son again. I'm looking forward to seeing my mom and dad. I'm looking forward to seeing my grandparents who have been gone for a long, long time. But I know that he said the departed saints that are saved by the grace of God will be there. Listen to this one, there'll be no night there. There'll be no night there. I can't imagine. You know why? There's somebody said, well, when are we going to sleep? I don't believe we're going to sleep. I don't believe there's going to be no need to sleep. I believe the Lord's just going to give us something that is we can't describe it or we can't explain it. But by the way, there's no night there. He's the light, and that's all we need. Do you know that there'll be no sin there? I tell you today, in this world, it's full of sin. You pick up the paper, there's murders. There's dope. There's all kind of things happening all around about us. He said, preacher, why does God? Where is God? God's where he's always been. It's not where's God, but it's where's people doing what God has given us to do. Men have rejected God. They've turned their back on God. They've walked away from God. And then they're the very ones that begin to cry out at the very instant of anything happening and say, why did God allow this to happen? Friend, God has done everything in His mercy to give us a wonderful place. He brought us out that He might bring us in, but yet sometimes we mess up things along the way. I know there'll be no devil there. I tell you, the old devil, we're going to defeat him. When I was in my ordination, I've told you this story, but there was another fellow being ordained with me, Brother Gary Conger. He's been ordained, and they asked us both if we believe the devil was real. Or no, they said, is the devil bound? And of course, he's not bound right now. He will be one day, but he's not right now. But the other fellow said, I believe he's bound. And all the preachers looked at him like, you got to be kidding. He said, what do you mean he's bound? He said, he's bound to my leg. And I tell you, he'll get bound to your leg too. But you know what? When we get to heaven, there's not going to be no devil there. He's not going to be there, nowhere around. But here's the one, the Lord Himself is going to be there. I tell you, somebody said, boy, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that would be. Man, can you imagine sitting around the throne of God just praising Jesus all day long and all night long, which ain't no night, so we're just all day long. That's just forever. And so we'll praise Him, the Lord Himself, the one that we know was crucified, buried, and rose again from the grave and is seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. One day we're going to be in His presence. Every now and then I get to thinking about all those that have left us. Talking about family, but I'm talking about our church family. Boy, I tell you, in the last 3 or 4 years, our church has taken a hit. I tell you, we've lost some great saints of God. But I tell you, I wouldn't call them back for nothing in the world, friend. I believe they're rejoicing today like they've never rejoiced before, because they're in the presence of my Lord and Savior. There's going to be a lot more in heaven besides that. That's just a little bit to scratch the surface. But friend, heaven is a wonderful place. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to sing, I believe. I am. I'm going to try to anyway. I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to sing, it was worth it all. It will be worth it all. But we'll sing, it was worth it all. What we lived and what we experienced and what we did. Friend, I'm going to tell you today, God in this world is here to help us. And that leads me to my next point. There was a glorious exit. They got out of bondage. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. Literally, even relating this doesn't even sound quite right, because I'm telling you, I can't imagine 400 years under a slave working every day doing what they've done. They were delivered from that. They were delivered and given a place called Canaan. But they had an extended 40 years in the wilderness. And that's where I want to take you now. It was a gruesome experience. I want to take you to the middle of that verse now. He brought us out that we go through the wilderness so He could bring us in. Friend, God had a purpose in all that He did. You see, when you read about Israel and everything they endured during their wilderness journey, it becomes quite evident that their wilderness journey was not a picnic. It was not full of fun. It was full of suffering. It was full of death. It was full of pain. And many of them didn't even get to go in. There was 40 years where years of trials. There was wars. There was judgment. There was death. There was sickness. There was terror. It was a horrible time. Why in the world would God do that? Bring them out and allow them to go through that. Remember, we too are a people on a journey. God has saved us to bring us in one day. But until we get there, we're going through this journey that God has brought us. He's allowed things to happen in our life. And while we're here, I don't understand the tragedy. Somebody mentioned to me this morning and was talking about reading where parents have killed their children. And we hear that more and more. Can you imagine the thought? I cannot imagine the twistedness of people's minds. And why does all this go on? It's not because Jesus is not where He's always been. It's because sin is still rampant in our society today. And people are still going about doing everything that is contrary to what God intended upon this earth. That's why it's so wonderful today for people that still love the Lord. Remember here today that we're just pilgrims. You know what a pilgrim is? You say, well, I remember the ones that came over in the Mayflower. Well, I didn't come over in the Mayflower. That was a little before my time. But I tell you, I'm a pilgrim in this world. I live here, but my citizenship's in heaven. I have made arrangements with the Lord Jesus Christ. I've made reservations. And I'm telling you today, my citizenship is in heaven. And one day, I'm going to heaven. But until I do, I'm an alien in a foreign country. I tell you, I'm in a place today, even though I'm a citizen of the United States of America and proud of that. I'm thankful I was born here. I'm thankful that I'm able to live here. And I thank God for what He's done for us here in America up until this point. But I can tell you this, I know one thing. God has given us a place in heaven that literally is more like our spirit, if we're really saved, than what this world has to offer. He also said He'll help us through our pilgrimage on our journey. The good news is when we got saved, let me tell you about this. Just take a break here and tell you that when we got saved, remember now, the Holy Spirit took up residence in our heart. We're not on the journey by ourselves. Do you know the children of Israel were not on the journey by themselves? The Bible said God moved them, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And that's how they knew to go. Friend, I haven't seen the pillar of fire and I haven't seen the cloud lead me, but His Word guides me every day of my life and shows me what He'd have me to do and the direction I need to go. We're pilgrims in a strange world. Don't be upset when people treat you bad. If they don't love God, they're not going to love you. But it's our responsibility to love them and tell them that Jesus loves them and that He will give them eternal life. While we're on this journey, we become a needy people. We'll face many needs in our life. I hear people talking now, and I tell you, we hear about more than ever before, and it's quite obvious. They said, boy, gas is going up. Groceries is going up. Preacher, what are we going to do? My wife said the other day, she said, we're just going to have to quit buying that. I said, well, for long, we're just going to have to quit buying everything, I reckon, because everything's going up. I said, we're just going to have to get what we can, make it last as long as we can, to do what we can to get through. You said, well, preacher, what about that? You think God, why God allowed us to go through all this? I don't know, but I know one thing. He's promised that He'll meet our needs if we put our faith and trust in. The psalmist said this. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. I tell you today, there's no friend like the friend of Jesus. We have a gracious, giving Father in heaven who loves us. He said, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. In Matthew chapter 6, He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So here's the formula. Just seek Him first, and you won't have to worry about anything. God will supply your needs, and you'll be shocked how He does. And there's people that could stand here today and give testimony if we had the time of what God had done in your life. Not only that, not only are we needy, and not only are we pilgrims, but we're weak. And I tell you, when our steps grow weary, sometimes we get discouraged. In fact, somebody said, man, that's more than I want to. We get weak, and we get discouraged, and we get depressed. But I want to remind you that when our feet get weary, God is there. The Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Here's another formula. Just be a good man. You see, the Bible's not difficult. Somebody said, if I knew how to live the Christian life, I'd get saved. Well, first of all, you can't live the Christian life until you get saved because you can only live it through Christ. But once you get saved, He's promised us that His steps, He'll provide the steps for us if we'll walk in His footsteps. We find today we're weak. Our God is faithful against our enemies. All the burdens we carry, the things we're exposed to, the things that we do. Friend, I love this song, and it's an old song. Don't hear it very much. But it said, no, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. And I'm so thankful today that I'm on a journey. But I tell you what, I have the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart. He saved me by His grace. And I tell you what, you said, aren't you worried about things? I tell you, I'm concerned about things. But I'm going to trust God because He said in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. We're needy, we're pilgrims, and we're weak. But we're also humans. and we get tempted. The flesh is weak, and the devil is rampant, and he's able to destroy us and get to us. We're tempted to sin. The Bible says, the Lord says, that he'll not tempt us above that which we are able. And I tell you today, if you're trusting in God, God will give you the strength to resist the temptations of this world. And they're so strong. I don't believe in my lifetime I've ever seen temptation and sin as rampant as it is in our day. And I tell you, I'm going to keep preaching it and hollering as long as I can. But I tell you, I keep hearing about all this fentanyl and stuff that's coming into our country and young people. I read almost weekly, if not daily, young people that's taking pills that somebody tells them some other kind of pill, and it kills them. Friend, today the devil would do everything in his power to destroy our young people. He'd do everything in his power to destroy our adults. And we need to understand today that we need to walk according to his will and not be susceptible to the traps of the devil. But we do have God on our side. And we've got to learn not to allow the devil to have the preeminence in our life, but to allow God. Not only that, we are tempted, but we're also preserved. God did not deliver Israel from slavery. Listen, God did not deliver Israel from slavery only to lose them in between, on the way to Canaan. He brought them out that he might bring them in. God did not bring us out so we'd fall into sin. God did not bring us out that we would continue to reject him. But you know what? He brought us out that he might bring us in. And friend, today, as I've stood, I don't know how many funerals I counted the other day. In the last 2 or 3 years, I preached like 30 funerals. And I tell you, that's a lot for me. But I can tell you this, I'm grateful the majority, if not all, I'd have to go back and think about it, but I know many of them were saved Christians. And I know they were on their way to heaven. And I know they're relieved of all the sin and the pain and the things they're going through. But friend, God said that if we're saved, he will keep. He says nothing can separate me from the love of God. The Lord is my shepherd. I was reading a book the other day on just the 23rd Psalm. It's a thick book. But it was just on that psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Friend, if you have the Lord, there's nothing else to want. He's all you need. He'll meet your need all along the way. If you're saved today, and listen to what I said. I preached last week on how to know you're saved, and I hope that everybody knows whether you're saved or not. But friend, if you're saved today, the devil can tempt you, and he can destroy your testimony, and he can drag you down, but he can never take away your salvation if you put your faith and trust in him. You said, but preacher, what do you mean by that? You mean you can go out and sin and everything will be all right? No. I believe if you go out and sin thinking everything will be all right, then maybe you're not saved. But the Bible said to him to knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And I think today what we understand that, yes, we may sin. We may fall into sin. And I'm going to tell you, there's not a person in this building that's above it. But the Bible said if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad today that every day that we live, we can put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can cry. In fact, daily, we ought to cry out for forgiveness of sin, that he would forgive us and come into our heart and save us. He brought us out that he might bring us in. What a glorious exit. I remember where I was. I remember what I used to be, but I know where I'm at now. I know I'm still in the wilderness and I'm on the journey, but thank God one day the journey is going to complete it all. And what a day of rejoicing that will be.